everypony, it's Lotus Moon. I guess you can tell by the sound of my voice, I'm not doing too good. I'm not having a particularly good day. But I can't let that stop me. I'm going to bring you the 12th chapter to Fireteam Odium. So please enjoy. Fireteam Odium. Written by Atranos the Last. Chapter 12. Gathering an Army. The three guardians stood at a large table within the town barracks. Callus and Exodus had made their way there as fast as they could, ending up taking only 10 minutes to arrive at their destination. Curvis, meanwhile, had finished his drink and thanked the bartender before leaving to meet up with his team in around the same time it took them to arrive. So, the war mage leader began, I am aware you want ponies, but how many do you need? As I have stated previously, we do not have all that many mages ready. As many as you can spare. We need as much support as we can get, though I want to give you a warning before we continue, Exodus said. The Cabal are ruthless. They will kill, and they won't hesitate to do so. If your ponies go into combat and they are not captured, they may very well be killed. The mage was quiet for a moment, thinking upon the decision she now had to make. After a short while, she spoke up. These monsters are going to cause untold damage if we don't stop them. Losses are inevitable, but we need to endure. The war mages will stand by your side until these creatures have been all but destroyed. I understand that this is difficult for you, but we will do our best to make sure as many ponies as possible come home, Exodus said, standing tall. The ponies smiled at that. Thank you. Now, you three are more than welcome to stay here in town while we work on preparing the mages. We should be ready by evening tomorrow, she said. The guardians gave her a nod and back out from the room, before beginning their walk down the corridor towards the exit. God, I wish we didn't have to do this, Callus commented, looking down at the ground slightly as she walked. As do we, Callus. But we can't change that now, Exodus replied. Maybe not, but I can still dream. The rest of their walk out of the building and around the town was mostly silent. None of them knew what to say to make it better, though with the job they had now given themselves, there wasn't likely anything that could be said. They eventually settled down in the bar, Curvis going upstairs to get some sleep. It was going to be a long night. Chromeshio walked slowly through the town, taking in the sights around him. It wasn't the first time he had come to this town, and it likely wasn't going to be the last. His cousin lived near the town center, making clothes for the mages that lived around her. The job seemed to pay well, as the mages were not allowed to train without their combat robes, which naturally deteriorated with time in the field. This left her pretty well off, living in a large home with plenty of space to spare. With nothing else to do until the next day, the unicorn decided to pay his family member a visit, altering his path to reach her home. The streets remained quiet with the time of night. Even the later hour shops had begun to pack up for the evening. Not long after, he arrived at the door to her house. It was a large slab of oak, hoof-crafted to fit her style. He gave the wood a short knock, listening as a few clatters could be heard throughout the interior of the building. When the clattering had ceased, the door pushed open slightly, revealing a pink unicorn with a purple mane. She gave him a look over before her face switched to one of recognition. "Chrome? What are you doing here?" she asked, her eyes wide at the sight of her cousin. "I came here with some, ponies. I wanted to come over and check on you, see how you were doing," he responded with a smile, hesitating at the thought of trying to explain the guardians on the porch. "Oh, well, wouldn't you like to come in? I was just about to make something to eat before bed," she said, opening the door to allow him to enter. "I can come in for a while, though I don't think I'll be eating anything tonight. The mages will most likely make us something before we leave tomorrow." "You're only staying for a day?" she asked, slight disappointment in her voice. "We need to get back out there as quickly as possible, I'm afraid. But when this is over, I would love to drop by again, if you would be up for that." "Of course. You're always welcome here," she chirped, her disappointment seemingly disappearing. "Feel free to make yourself at home. I'll be there in just a minute." Chrome nodded and took a quick look around. It had been some time since he had set hoof in this house, the last time he could remember being before he joined the army. The house wasn't overly messy, but with her work taking so much of her time, it was clear she hadn't properly had much of a chance to clean. Turning to his right, he entered the living room, silently appreciating the furniture that decorated it. Three double-seated couches surrounded a small coffee table, all of which had intricate patterns across them to give them a more noble look. Various cupboards lined the wall, each filled with old hardware that had once been used to make robes until a new device showed up that outperformed the one before it. An ornate chandelier hung from the ceiling directly over the table, its multitude of lights shining bright enough to light the entire room easily. The carpet was, unfortunately, the least impressive thing in the room. It was a simple black, absorbing any excess light to give the rest of the room a more homely feel. Done with looking around, Chrome sat down on one of the couches, feeling himself sink into the plush cushions. As he waited, he thought upon the mission he and the guardians had been given. They were to raise an army, but only had a few days to do it. Something of that scale hadn't been accomplished in many decades, and even then the army wasn't needed in the end. Even if they got the army ready in time, the soldiers would probably be ill-prepared for what they were going to face. His thoughts were ceased by the sounds of hooves coming down the stairs. He turned his head to see his cousin walking into the room, sitting down on the couch opposite of him. "So, how are you, Chrome? It's been quite a while since you were last here," she asked, smiling slightly. "After everything that has been happening, I've honestly been better. How about you? I heard some good things from the mages about you, the work you have been doing," Chrome replied. "It's been hard work, but not too bad. There aren't many new mages coming in with the lack of any significant wars, so my job has mostly been repairing damaged robes or making new ones for a few clothing shops around Equestria." Chrome shuffled slightly before speaking up. "There haven't been new mages? Did you not hear about what happened in Manhattan?"
"We all did. It was horrible. But what are we supposed to do? There isn't even 200 mages ready for combat here. The rest were sent on guard duty in lesser villages and towns. The ones that stayed here were the ones that had exceptional promise. Even if we got new mages, they would have to endure years of training. Then we can only hope that our new allies can help count for those losses. The stallion commented, drawing a confused look from the mayor. New allies? Another country has come to our aid? She asked. No. Did you hear the stories about the three beings evacuating the city? She nodded, seemingly unsure as to where this was going. After an acceptant look from her cousin, however, her mind clicked into place. They're here? Oh my goodness, can I speak with them? I would love to be able to, she exclaimed, her eyes lighting up. Sure. I think Curvis is sleeping, but Callus and Exodus should still be awake. Why exactly do you want to speak with them? I was told they were wearing armor of some kind. If that armor is capable of blocking all that damage, I would simply adore to learn how it is made. Imagine if the mages were capable of blocking damage without spells. The blue unicorn sighed slightly at that. While I admire your enthusiasm, I don't think they would like you poking around their armor. It would be just for a minute. All I would be doing is casting a quick spell to learn their compositions, and then I would be done. I think we should at least talk with them before Huffcross. They need that stuff to protect them during combat. Should something go wrong and that armor be damaged, they might be at a disadvantage in the field. She looked a bit downcast at that news, but satisfied with the compromise. She was able to speak once more when a loud whistle sounded from another room. Oh, please excuse me for a moment. Dinner's nearly ready. Chrome gave a smile and nodded, shaking his head slightly at the disappearing form of his cousin. This is going to be interesting, he muttered, settling down. In the town of the Spactus, two ponies trotted down back into the town. The mayor and Salyam both had worried looks adorning their faces, both silently praying that their home and son would be safe when they returned. As they entered the town square, they could see the monster speaking quietly with Elder Shine. The pony was giving them a warm smile as she spoke, occasionally pointing to various places within the town. In order to reach their home, they had to pass through the square. Not something either of them wanted to do, but it was necessary to reach their son quickly. They ducked down slightly, hoping not to be seen, and made their way through the open area. A glance from the mare showed the biggest of the monsters to have noticed them, but it made no signs of moving. Shine was too busy giving a welcome to them to notice the presence of the two ponies. At the speed they were moving, it wasn't long before they got through, away from the monsters. They ran up to the door of their home and slammed it open, the mare galloping into the living room to find their colt sitting in the center, a wide smile on his face when he recognized his mother and father. Mom, Dad, I'm so glad you guys are safe, he cried, running into their embrace. And I'm glad you are too, kiddo, the father said, giving his son a hug. Did anything happen while we were gone? No. Some ponies were crying, but they went back to their homes real quick. It's been quiet since. Good. Now your mother and I need to have a quick chat, and then we will be with you again, okay? His father asked, looking down at him with a smile. Okay. The colt muttered. Don't worry, Indigo. It will only be a minute or two. And then we will be right here with you. The mare said, hoping to raise the spirits of the little blue Pegasus. He gave a nod in response and walked back to the center of the room, sitting down to wait for his parents' return. The mare and Stallion, meanwhile, moved into the kitchen to speak privately. What are we going to do? Those monsters have just been allowed into the town. What if they decide to attack? The mare asked in a hushed whisper when they had arrived in the room. Trust me on this. If they wanted to harm us, they would have done so. I don't necessarily trust them either, but if Shine says they're okay, we have no reason to distrust her. Plus, think about all the mages we have around here. If they try to do anything, the mages will slaughter them. The Stallion responded, in the same volume of his wife. But there were mages in Manhattan, and look what happened there. There were literally millions of monsters during that fight, and less than 100 mages. The only reason any pony got out of that place was because of those three. Here, there aren't even 20 monsters. But there are over 50 mages. They are hideously outnumbered, and they know it. The mayor gave a look to the doorway leading to the living area. I don't want Indigo to get hurt. And neither do I. But we need to have faith in the elders. At least until Crimson returns. When she is back, we will know what we need to do. If you say so, hon, she muttered, giving her husband a short nuzzle. I think we should probably go get back to Indigo. Yeah, just remember to stay positive. The elders know what they are talking about, and if they say that the monsters are all right, we should trust them. The mare gave a nod and turned, walking towards the living area with her husband in tow, hoping to have a quiet night with her family. On a train destined for Canterlot, a guarded car rolled along in stony silence. The ponies either sleeping or watching as the scenery passed in a blur. In a far corner of the car, two ponies sat in a whispered conversation, one of them being Celestia, the other the purple alicorn. But how do we know we can trust them? Sure, they helped get those ponies out during the Manhattan attack, but you saw the devastation just one of them dealt to those few city blocks. Imagine us having to fight them and those monsters, the purple alicorn said to the white one, her whisper threatening to reach normal talking level in her anxiety. Twilight, please. I have been around for many, many years, and while I couldn't see their faces, I can tell an ally from an enemy. I have already received word that they have reached Salacium with no issues, and the war mages have welcomed them into their town. If you keep worrying like this, you will end up driving yourself up the wall, and I think we both remember how that ended. But Princess, we are talking about a war against a race that we have never seen before, and our only allies are three beings of yet another race we have never seen before. Surely we should be cautious until we know more about them. The alicorn known as Twilight commented, her voice lowering into that of a whisper once more. In a time like this, we don't have much of a choice but to accept that they are our friends. Should they attempt to harm us, I will stop them. But until that time, we need all the help we can get. Twilight paused for a moment before responding. All right, Princess. I'll take your word for it. But I have another thing I wanted to speak with you about. Celestia tilted her head slightly, waiting for her question. According to what was taken from the monster ship, They are trying to take our magic to use as a weapon. If they are going to be stopped when they take ponies, why have they not gone for the Tree of Harmony? I have thought upon this for a while now, and can only come up with the two options as to why the Tree of Harmony hasn't been touched. One option is that they simply don't know where it is, and so have not launched an investigation into it. Another is that they are aware of the raft they would be going against should they attempt to take it. The tree isn't as simple as it seems, and has quite a few countermeasures to protect it in case something came to damage it. The young Alicorn gave a nod at that and stood from her seat. Well, I think that was it. I'm going to go to sleep and let the girls know what is going on. Have a good night, Princess. And the same to you, Twilight. Far away, two ponies trotted down the dark streets to the barracks where the three guardians were staying. As they arrived at the door, the dark blue unicorn turned to speak with the mare beside him. Now, Cross, these guys have been through hell, and I think this is the first break they have had in a long while. I know you are excited, but please try to keep your enthusiasm under control. I know, don't worry. Now, can we get in there? She replied, a beaming smile crossing her face. All right. Come on. With that, Chrome pushed the door to the barracks open, trotting in with Cross. The guardians had been given their own area of the barracks to use as a temporary home, making it easy to find them. Callus and Exodus were talking with each other over a table, a game of cards before them. Curvis was asleep nearby, the larger parts of his armor laying near the bed. As they walked closer, Exodus noticed them and gave them a quick nod, drawing Callus's attention as well. Hey guys, she whispered, putting her cards face down in front of her so she could face the ponies. Hey, I was hoping to introduce you to my cousin, Cross Stitch. She would like to speak with you about your armor, Chrome replied in a simple whisper, hoping to not wake the Titan. Of course. What would you like to know? Exodus asked, also setting down his cards. This time, Cross Stitch spoke up. I would love to know what each piece of your armor is made of. I make the ropes for the mages use, and if I knew what that stuff was made of, I might be able to transfer that into the production of the armored garments, helping our mages to last longer without having to use healing spells. Well, normally Curvis would be the person to speak to about that, as he wears the heaviest armor out of the three of us, but he's currently unavailable. I guess you can look at mine, Exodus said. Oh, thank you. I won't be a moment. I have to cast a spell on it, and I'm sorted, she explained, stepping closer to the warlock. Fair enough. Go ahead. Still smiling, she started her spell and cast it upon the feathered metal that made up the warlock's chest piece. But as the spell finished, she could feel an odd energy conflicting with her magic. Before she could completely finish casting it, she gasped as she felt the energy react to the new magic that enveloped it. In only a few seconds, a blinding light smothered everyone in the room, following with a colossal explosion. When the ponies and people regained their vision, their reactions were mixed. There, in the corner of the room, Exodus lay still, a gaping hole within his chest. As they stared at the corpse, his ghost became visible and opened his segments, signifying the Exo's death. "The hell was that?" Chrome yelled, pulling the mirror back.
I don't know. That wasn't supposed to happen.
Oh no.
Is he dead?
She stammered, a look of horror on her face. Callus had stood when the explosion rang out, pure rage racing through her body. A pony she thought was an ally just killed her friend, and she was beyond pissed.
"You motherfucker,"
she muttered, drawing her knife. Chrome saw this and immediately stood in front of Cross.
"Callus, it was an accident. You and I both know that. Just put the knife away and let's talk about this," he said, hoping to defuse the situation.
The hunter turned slowly to look at the unicorn, her hand shaking slightly. She gave no response, instead channeling arc energy through her body and blade.
"Callus, please, this isn't you,"
Chrome continued.
"Oh, this is completely me,"
she said quietly, sprinting forward and swinging her blade towards the two ponies. Chrome was just able to fire a shield spell, something he was well practiced with, to block the incoming guardian. The shield was enough to slow her down, but as she struck the barrier, he could feel his strength beginning to wane. He only had a split second to cast it, and so it didn't have enough strength to impede the hunter for long. Their savior came quickly, just as his shield was about to break. Their vision turned purple as a new sound rang out from behind them. Curvis, his armor fully equipped, stood tall, his hands surrounded with void energy.
"Callus, what the fuck are you doing?" he called out. "Can you not see? They killed Exodus,"
she responded, finally breaking the shield cast by Chrome and stepping forward just outside the dome of void light.
"I highly doubt they did it intentionally. This is your lack of thinking kicking in once more, Callus. Look at them. They are clearly upset about what happened, and the mirror looks like she's about to have a fucking panic attack. If you don't put that super away, I swear I'm going to do something I really don't want to do."
The Exo looked them over for a few seconds before grunting, stowing her blade and allowing the arc energy to dissipate. She said nothing as she pushed past them, leaving the building and walking away outside. Curvis sighed and dropped the ward, turning to the ponies. "You two okay?" The mare was feebly muttering something, tears streaming down her face, with hoofs covering her head. Chrome was trying to console her, but to no avail. When he realized the question had been directed at them, he looked up at the Titan. "She's scared, but okay. I'm gonna need a minute as well. Whenever a shield breaks, I need to recover," he explained. Kneeling down, he spoke softly to the petrified mare.
"Hey, are you all right?
I assume you never meant for that to happen." The pony looked up at the human, quickly giving a slew of apologies and rushed explanations, allowing Curvis to determine what happened.
"You shouldn't worry. Callus can be like that at times, especially when her friends are harmed. She means well, but you will have to give her some time. As for Exodus, he'll be fine."
"What? But," she asked through her tears.
But he died. Look, his body turned to dust."
Sure enough, Exodus's corpse, along with his armor, had been turned to fine black dust. His ghost was nearby it. His segments were still open and spinning.
"Just trust me, he's fine," the Titan said,
standing up and walking to the ghost. When he was within arm's length, he rose his hand near the warlock's companion and pushed some light into it. The blue that made the gaps between his segments flashing in response to the new energy. When enough had been given, the ghost began the resurrection process, dropping the warlock down and disappearing from sight. Exodus muttered, holding his head. What happened? Accident involving this mirror here in your light. Sorry it took so long to arrest you. Callus went ballistic again. Kervix explained, turning to signify the mirror he was talking about. Cross was now watching as the guardian she thought was dead walked over and knelt down. Did she hurt you? I swear to God if she did. The mare shook her head, slowly standing. She gave his knee a prod, trying to make sure she wasn't seeing things. Chuckling, the warlock gave her mane a quick rub and stood, looking over at Kervis. Where did she go? He asked. Outside. Her ghost will probably feed telemetry to you if you need it. I'll go speak with her. Can you stay here and look after these two? No problem. If you need any help, feel free to ask. Kervis replied, sitting down near the ponies. Thanks. I'll let you know what happens. Exodus said, walking out of the building. Now, where have you gone, Callus? This was Chapter 12 to Fireteam Odium, written by Atranos the Last. Sorry if I didn't sound into it, everypony. I guess I'm just having a pretty off day. It didn't start out how I really wanted it to, so yeah. But anyway, I didn't let that stop me. I do hope you enjoyed this chapter, everypony. I am Lotus Moon, and I want to wish you all a good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are. Good night.